It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Alex Olive.
All right, number one, we obviously talked about it at the top of the show. Tiger Woods has been involved in a single vehicle rollover accident. It appears that he has multiple leg injuries but is in stable condition. Russell, what was that update that you found during the break?
Saw one that said that a couple of things. He was conscious inside the vehicle, which I guess is good news. And that I can't remember. What did
– Said he's currently in surgery.
Non-life-threatening
injuries, yeah.
Correct. He's currently in surgery. They're saying we thank you for your privacy and support. Apparently someone had stopped to help him, and while they were stopped and out of their car helping him out, they got hit.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, that's terrible. Is that person okay?
Yeah, they're okay. That was just a minor one, but
okay.
Weird.
I saw another, just a random tweet from somebody that lived on that road and said right there is apparently it's a pretty steep that a lot of people lose control. This is not uncommon if you don't watch your speed going.
Is he
down
on
this.
An interstate or a highway?
Well, it looks like a you know, a typical like California, Southern California highway. You know, it's kind of going through one of those. We should ask Chris about this, Christopher Gabriel. What is that, the San Gabriel Mountains or something? I mean, it's mountainous.
Yeah, he
probably
actually
real similar to around here.
He apparently hit the curb and he hit a sign that was warning people about rolling hills.
Yeah, I
and
saw
then he
that.
Went up the hill.
You guys haven't been able to see it on TV, but I mean, this wreck lasted for at least a quarter of a mile. From where, I mean, he was completely out of control.
I hate to even speculate like this, but he recently had back surgery. I wonder if there's
toxicology. I mean, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, dude. I wonder if he's driving home, you know, from being at that golf tournament for the past few days.
Yeah, he was out there with Dwayne Wade, wasn't he, on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, he's in a tournament. You know, he's in a tournament. I mean, I'm sure it'll come out. Anytime you're in a wreck like this, they pull your blood. So, I don't know. It just, you'll see when you get home, and or if you haven't seen on social media, so it's no surprise. I guess, you know, you just, that kind of wreck with the front end damage the way it looks, in my experience, you know, the pedals, you know, all kinds of really bad things can happen down there with your legs.
All right, number two. Tennessee's five-star point guard signee Kennedy Chandler has officially been named a McDonald's All-American.
Hey!
Marking 10 for the program in their history.
Even though there's no McDonald's All-American game this year.
Correct.
Still a great honor.
But he's still one. Yeah, heck yeah.
That's 3 years in a row for Tennessee with Jaden Springer last year and Josiah Jordan James in 2019.
Hopefully a huge cure to what has ailed this team. Just if we can have metronome-like point guard play, if we can plug that dude in and he's good for 30 minutes a night and he can run the show, that'll – we still obviously got to find some post play, but that's half the battle right there.
Oh, sure it is. I was talking with Mike Hutchins, the head boys basketball coach over at Catholic High School, and Kennedy Chandler's name came up, and you know he just said point blank, you know, that basically what you just said, that he could be a real cure for what ails this year's team. He said he's, you know, probably the best point guard that we've had coming here in a long time, prospect-wise, and said he's a true point guard and likes to play defense. You know, Catholic faced him last year in the state championship game. So he's the real deal.
All right, number three. I mentioned last week that Titans general manager John Robinson had conversations with their 2020 first-rounder Isaiah Wilson.
An idiot.
Last night, Isaiah Wilson put on Twitter that he is, quote, done with football as a Titan. And then deleted the tweet shortly afterwards.
Yeah, I think the feeling's mutual there.
Yeah, I don't think he could ever really take another snap for the Titans, even if he were to get just things turned around.
I don't know. You hear the story about when Vrabel and Robinson met him at the combine last year, and he had this Andre the Giant like laugh and. What else did he say? You drafted him because he reminded you of Andre the Giant? Like, what are we doing? And listen, I love John Robinson and Vrabel. That is a great brain trust. So far, they've been very successful with the Titans. But they botched this one. Your first-round draft pick, and he's not even going to make it a year with the team. He played 4 snaps last year, got a DUI, was suspended, 2 trips to the COVID list.
He got arrested for that incident with the college party.
Yeah, I mean, what a complete...
Hanging out at college parties?
Yeah.
At least with a bust, a normal... Ryan Leaf was a bust. People will say Heath Shuler was a bust. The Titans have had some other busts through the... Tyrone Calico was a bust. At least those guys played.
Jamarcus Russell.
At least he played. At least he had a couple of games where he got out there and he just couldn't do it. For whatever reason, this guy never even got on the field.
No, he's a nutbag too.
I have faith in John Robinson. Like his the draft the year before, 2019, was pretty good.
Sure.
A.J. Brown and those guys, but...
I mean, it's one thing to miss, and again, maybe he got in there and he just didn't perform like you thought he would, never really developed, but he started a couple of games and you got through it. We were in a playoff game. We lost decisively to the Ravens because we couldn't protect the quarterback. Luan was hurt and other injuries there, and that's why we drafted him in the first round. He was supposed to be able to step in there and fix that. He cost us a playoff game, basically. And are you going to get on there and pop off and make it look like you're the aggrieved party? Like, come on, dude. Get out of here. Nonsense.
All right, number 4. Last night, Albert Pujols' wife posted on Instagram what seemed to be a retirement announcement. It originally stated, quote, "Monday is the first day of the last season of one of the most remarkable careers in sports." Kind of twist to the story today, Pujols has updated that to say that it is not an official retirement announcement and he will update things and decide about the future based on what happens this season.
Yeah, honey, why don't you chill and I'll announce when I'm retired, okay? How about that? I've only been playing, 15 years? I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer. I've got reservations for Cooperstown.
21 seasons. Been there a while.
21 seasons. Wow. He probably deserves better than that. He deserves the full-on press conference and all that stuff. 21 seasons. Wow. What a player.
Is he going to do the retirement tour like, was it Jeter that did that, where he got gifts every city he went to?
He's a much more better player than Derek Jeter ever was. But
once you show what?
Albert Pujols was a better baseball player than Derek Jeter. That's not a controversial statement.
No, he's not a better baseball player than the captain. You shut your mouth or I'll drive down there.
No, you won't. It's not a controversial statement.
I'll slap you across the face live on the radio.
What would we be saying about Pujols if he had played the past 20 seasons for the Yankees? Oh, my God. Move over, Babe Ruth. He's like Ruth, Aaron, and Bonds rolled into one. Oh my God!
We'd all know his nickname. I'll tell you that if he's playing for the greatest franchise in the history of sport.
I didn't realize you were a Yankees fan.
Yeah,
he's a faux Yankees fan.
I am not.
Name me 5 Yankees.
Aaron Judge, Judge Voit. I'm gonna have a hard time right here. And I thought about this earlier.
Who was your second one, Voit?
Voit.
Yeah.
Vote.
I'll take your word for it. Vote. All right. You got 2. Big Yankees fan, Barrett. Just huge Yankees fan.
Yeah, shut up.
Where's it on his sleeve? You can't beat the Yankees out of it, man. He just loves his team.
He bleeds.
He bleeds
blue?
It, man.
What color do they
He's born in pinstripes. I'll tell you what.
Sanchez, Hicks. Odovino.
He has found the Google
Stanton.
Machine, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I've not.
No, of course not.
On Google.
That is the top 4 at 4 brought to you by Knoxville Smiles.
Carlo.
Folks, put a big smile on your face and go to Knoxville Smiles. Get those teeth cleaned up. Get those pearly whites shining for all to see. Go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com to set up your appointment today or just call them at 865-539-1776. KnoxvilleSmiles.com. All right, jam-packed show, man. It has been on fire in hour number 1 as we unpacked the Tiger Woods breaking news at the top, moved into some Tennessee basketball talk, and then Hurricane Christopher Gabriel came in and stirred things up. I know you want to talk about it. 865-546-8200 is the number to get on the show. 546-8200. Let's start banging through some phone calls. Who is up first? Alex Off.
We've got Willie, the one and only.
Oh, man. Your finger on the button there. Willie, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
That Gabriel guy's pretty cool. Where's his connection to here? Where's that come from?
That's never been made clear to us.
He says Willie, he's a Tennessee fan.
He's from Chicago.
Yeah.
He's done radio all over the place.
He has family ties, but I can't remember his day. He said it on the show before. He's legit.
I guess that's your biggest addition since the Bear.
The guy's dynamite.
It's pretty stellar. Credit Trey Wallace for finding Christopher Gabriel for us.
Hey, guys, Snowball's losing his touch, I guess.
Oh, dear.
I'm on the way to the Tennessee baseball game right now. All right, I came down Magnolia, and now this new stadium. Do I make a ride on Linden, or do I go to the next street?
I don't know.
That's where I'm at right now. But I'll tell you what, Snowball must be losing his touch. I stopped at Kroger over there on Magnolia to get something, and I came out, and I made a wrong turn, and damn, I thought I was going to get killed.
What do you mean?
I mean, they're honking their horn, road rage. I got the hell out of there.
Well, that's good. We don't want to see you on some YouTube video getting the crap kicked out of you over on Magnolia.
Nothing like old Mark Price's nephew did. Did you see that?
No.
6'4" wide receiver for Oklahoma.
I did. Oh yeah, he popped off to the wrong dude, huh, Willie?
He got an ass whooping. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
He got a two-piece and a biscuit.
I'm glad he didn't lose his eyeball, but he came close.
Yeah, he did.
And to rebuild his orbital bone.
Wow, that dude played. Did you see that, Alex? The guy plays wide receiver for Oklahoma. He's at a bar.
Talking about Spencer Jones?
Words are exchanged, and he's the bigger guy, and he ran his mouth to the wrong little dude. Little man broke him off something. Broke him off something.
I have a general policy not to get in the face of someone who's that much smaller than me, just because you never know.
You never know.
Those dudes are, like, usually trained.
Yeah. Could be bad. Could go Exhibit A, Spencer Jones.
But seriously, guys, I'm going over here. I've got spring fever, so I'm going over here and check out these Volunteers baseball team. You think I can get in over there? Are they letting fans in?
Just let them know you are a key civil rights figure. You integrated a Atlanta area softball league.
No, I didn't. No. Let me clarify that. I didn't integrate the league. Every team in the league, there were two white teams, but all the rest of the teams, they had about one black guy. I mean, one white guy. I just integrated that one team, the British Petroleum. That's the only thing I did.
I'm trying to help you out here, Willie. If that's the best you got, you're probably going to have to pay, just like a average Joe.
Well, I'm just saying, are they letting people in? I don't care to wear a mask going in, but if I get a long ways away from people, I'm taking that mask off. I can't watch a baseball game in beautiful weather like this if I'm at least 20 feet away from everybody. I'm not going to wear a mask.
I would think they let you. It might be one of those things like when you go to a restaurant and you got to wear it while you're walking in, but then you sit down and take it off. Maybe it's one of those things where you got to wear it in the concourse. But once you get seated, I can't imagine anybody would hassle you for not wearing a mask in an outdoor stadium
that. At the football games, Willie, they said that once you were in your seats and with the people that you were seated with, like your family or your group, that you could take your mask off. I don't think anybody's going to hassle you.
Well, I'm going to this game with my best friend.
Who's that?
Well, you guys walk in together.
Myself.
Me, myself, and I. Sometimes that's the way to do it, Willie.
But, hey, guys, you think that our new Lily White, athletic director that we've got, that claims a great hiring of coaches, you think he's got a list for a for a basketball coach in case things just don't go right moving forward? Do you think he's already got that list?
He's probably just called his brother.
No, hell no.
You don't think we could find some size medium dress shirts and clip-on ties and a supercuts for little Mikey White to come up here and make himself comfortable?
Hell, you might as well just, I mean, he looks just like him. Just march him out there and tell him we hired his brother. He could kind of play two different people.
I'm sure he has.
This basketball team looks horrible right now.
They do.
If we go down there and Butch Pearl pulls Margie's pants down, you know they're not going to do anything in the NCAA tournament. They might win one game max. But, hey, the chickens are coming home to roost, or the roosters are coming home to roost, or whatever it is. But his lack of recruiting post players, you know, it's finally coming back to they're coming home to roost.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this team. And certainly we've got some post guys on the roster that are not contributing, have not developed the way we hoped they would when we signed them. But the biggest thing is...
Hey, Dubsy.
Yeah.
When you put Plavy out there, want him to guard a guard on a three-point line, now how damn smart is that?
Well, he didn't put him on a guard, but sometimes you have a high ball screen where you have to switch and rotate, and you got to do what you got to do.
In other words, his system sucks.
I don't think it's a lot different from a lot of other coaches' systems in that. I mean, that's bad. Willie, enjoy the game. You've had way too long. Go ahead. Get out of here. Enjoy the game.
Hey,
good grief.
I don't understand why you're watching. I was enjoying his call.
Because nobody was. We gave him plenty of time.
Incredible.
He waited. Really, I gave him more time than I normally would have because he waited on hold through the top of the hour break. I'm trying to be generous. That was what, a 7-minute long phone call? That was entirely too long. It was rambling. It was incoherent. It was borderline offensive at times. And it was time to get out. It was time to move.
It was time. The Willie call.
It was time to move.
Okay.
Time to get moving. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon.
We've got T-Carp up next.
Oh, yeah, that's right. T-Carp, let's get him in here. He's been hanging forever, too. T-Carp.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man, I think I fixed the toilet, so hang out for just a second. Hey, we're good. It works. Sorry, Mr. Fix-It today.
I'm glad you put your time on hold to good use, T-Carp.
No, listen to Christopher Gabriel. I mean, he's got some pretty good points on Heupel. You know, the guy's got a good offense, at least statistics-wise. It's a crapshoot. He was naming off some pretty good defensive statistics for I can't even remember our defensive coordinator's name.
Banks.
We switched coaches so much, I can't remember anything anymore. Russell, help me. What's going on with me?
Tim Banks. Yeah, it happens to the best of us, T-Carp.
How many coaches have we had in 10 years? Five or four? You have to count them in your head.
Four, yeah. Who's keeping count, honestly, at this point, T-Carp? It's gotten kind of ridiculous, right?
It has, but... If this guy comes out and does well, you know what? I'll be happy. I'm going to say I'll talk crap. I'll do everything. I'll be that sheepy Tennessee fan for the first year. But that's like you said, when that ex-girlfriend, when she shows me something that's like my current girlfriend that shows me something like my ex-girlfriend, I'll be like, oh, nope, I'm out on you. So I have that feeling, but. My thing, he needs to win 5 to 6 ball games. He's got to beat Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and I'd like him to beat Missouri. No 20-point losses to anybody. You know, you can lose by 3 touchdowns. If you lose by over that, I'm
that's your 20 points. No more 20-plus point beatdowns.
Yeah, no more 20-plus point beatdowns to anybody. And I'm not saying you have to beat Florida, Georgia, Alabama in the first 2 to 3 years. But I'm saying no more 20-point beatdowns. Keep it close. Keep it manageable.
I feel you.
And then make your way up to 8-4 by the third year. And then the fourth or fifth year, I'd like to see a 10-win ball game or 10-win football team within that fifth, sixth, seventh year. And I think that's realistic, is it not?
Yeah.
Or am I completely just sheeping it out?
No.
Like, oh, you know.
Well, here's the thing, T-Carp, is I've said this and people have jumped down my throat because I've been saying this for a week or two now. You go look at the 247sports.com talent composite where it compiles every player on your roster, all scholarship players and, you know, their ratings and averages it out. Tennessee last year had the 15th most talented roster in the country. Now, that's probably going to go down a little bit, not too much, but we're still probably going to be top 20 in the country in terms of talent. And we'll probably have the more talented squad in 9 out of our 12 games next year. Now, I'm not saying that Tennessee could go 9-3 next year, but I'm just saying like this 5-7 wins, doom and gloom stuff, that it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. If this guy can just get our players believing in themselves and get some of their potential unlocked, then that's worth at least a win or two over what we had last year.
So you're saying 7 wins is minimum for you.
I haven't put a number on it yet, record wise, because there's just so many unknowns yet to be determined. But I do think that you look at what Bruce Pearl did when he got here, and everybody's like, "Oh, there's no he has nothing." But he was able to put his imprint on the team, not just physically with the way they play, but psychologically. He was able to inject a dose of swagger. Our guys have been beaten down. There's no confidence, no joy, no fun in that program. Jeremy Pruitt sucked the life out of everything that he came in contact with. And David Ubben wrote a great piece about Heupel and interviewing some of his former players and stuff. They say, hey, man, this guy gives us the juice. This guy lets us be ourselves. He lets us be who we are out there on the football field. There's no restrictions, and he lets us play loose. I don't know if that's worth extra wins, but whatever we've been doing hasn't been working, so I'm ready to try something else.
I understand that. Real quickly before I go, how about the Fighting Purple George Quarles is putting up 500 yards last week?
Guy can coach football, man.
Telling you, Bear. He's going to run through the Southern Conference this year. He's got him a quarterback. So, y'all be good.
Thank you, T-Carp. Appreciate it. We have, you watch any of the football FCS games this week, Bear?
No, actually I watched the NASCAR race on Sunday. Excuse me. And, I haven't. I've been watching other stuff.
I didn't watch either.
I got real into I'd recently picked up CBS All Access for a few weeks, and I've been plowing through a bunch of stuff on there. I got some cool stuff.
Furman got the dub. George Quarles put together another elite offense down there. They beat the Catamounts of Western Carolina.
Yeah, a nephew of an old family friend of ours plays up there at Furman right now. So.
Good school.
Absolutely. He's having a blast. They got a solid football team up there.
Quick timeout. More of your phone calls coming up. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Bankrupt. Champions League football in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Bear. It's fantastic.
Give me an update, Russ.
Chelsea has just scored to go up 1-0 on Atletico Madrid. an Olivier Giroud bicycle kick. It's unbelievable.
It's a thing of beauty.
Who is it? One of our colleagues, who's a Chelsea fan here in town? I've noticed that we've all got different teams across the different shows and,
you idiot.
And different stations.
It's me.
I was thinking somebody outside of the station. You're a Chelsea fan.
You know that.
I've forgotten about that.
Stop playing dumb.
They're losers.
They're in the Champions League.
What was the last time your team won Champions League, Bear? Oh, that's right. This never happened. That's funny. Losers. Let's get Phil in here. Speaking of losers.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's a cheap shot Tuesday.
I owe him an apology.
Probably.
Where's Larry, don't you?
Larry.
How you doing, Bear?
Doing well. Why aren't you down there with Snowball at the baseball game getting set to start? It should be the Philly and Willie show down there, I feel like.
Well, I mean, William didn't invite me. I guess he's trying to find directions from, Magnolia to Lindsay, Nelson Stadium. He's got a problem, you know what I'm saying?
I guess he got lost. I don't think he's in the right part of town.
I guess he's got to get on James White Parkway, you know, and go on down to Nayland.
He'll find his way down there. You think Willie's got GPS in his car, Bear?
No, I think last time I saw Willie, he still had a damn flip phone. Pretty sure.
He stopped and asked somebody. Philly.
Guys, you're talking about Tennessee football next year. I think the key to their season is four games. I think Pitt is one of them. I think South Carolina, Missouri, and Kentucky. Tennessee has to win three out of those four games to have a successful season.
Three out of what are the four again? Just the Eastern Division?
Include Pitt, because that's going to be our biggest intersection game.
Yeah.
And then you got South Carolina, Missouri, and Kentucky. I don't think we're going to beat Ole Miss, so I don't include Ole Miss on that list, even though we probably should. But I think Ole Miss will have too much offense for us.
We can say, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you also have to beat South Alabama and Tennessee Tech.
We'll beat the snot out of Tech.
Well, you should be able to just show up and beat them.
Yeah.
And South Alabama.
What are you doing, Alex?
You would think.
We're penciling those in, okay?
Recent history has not been kind to us in games like that.
That is an interesting insight into the psyche of Alex Olive right there. He's like, I don't know about South Alabama, Tennessee Tech. Really? Come on, Alex.
Listen, my first game that I saw live as a student was Georgia State.
Yeah, but that was – we had a certifiable moron coaching us.
That's a fair point. I'm just a little gun shy.
Now, Tennessee basketball, y'all were talking earlier with your guest and I guess with Willie. I am perplexed why they recruit over there. They get some good players, but it don't seem like it works out. Outside of that one good recruiting class, Rick Barnes, his recruiting's been hodgepodge at best, outside of Jaden Springer and Keon in the last two recruiting classes. And I guess Triple J, you can throw him in there. They've recruited three good players for that, but nothing to go along with them.
No. And I think we talked about it yesterday, Phil. He's going to have to make some tough calls with the roster this year. And you know, help some guys place them in situations where they might be able to get more playing time and open up some spots because it's his program. He can do what he wants. But if I were in his shoes, I would not want to be going into next season with this great point guard coming in. And I'll say conservatively, four roster spots, which are just guys taking up space. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Needs two bigs and needs another shooter. Somebody can really shoot.
Yeah.
I think the guard play will be okay next year if you just add one shooter to it.
I'm with you, Phil. And I also wonder with Chandler coming in, if he can take over the point and you slide Vescovi off the ball, I wonder if he becomes – because you know he can stroke it. I wonder if he becomes a better player without all the point guard responsibilities on his shoulder, Barnes screaming in his ear every 2 seconds.
Well, I mean, Kenny Chandler –
That has to be the plan, doesn't it, Phil? I mean, me and you, I've watched
Kenny
Chandler a bunch. Hopefully, hopefully he'll be able to come in here and hopefully be able to step into that spot. And it's going to be a big jump. What people are used to seeing. I mean, if you've not watched him, he's incredibly quick.
You don't have to worry about presses next year, will you?
No. That's not saying, that he's not going to have his fair share of, mess-ups. Nobody's perfect, but no.
Well, between having Chandler
and before the half-court line.
Having Chandler next year, if he's one and done, and then you get the I'm sorry, I'm blanking y'all's boy over at
B.J. Edwards
the year after that. And I don't think he's a one-and-done guy, Phil. No. So you'll probably have him for 2 years. I mean, you're set at point guard for at least three seasons next year.
Yeah. And you got Victor Valley, you'll be back for another year, and then you got Triple J. So it's not like that the guard play will be that bad next year. They need one more guy, the Lex shooter, and I think they're looking at great guard play next year, not just average guard play like it is this year.
Man, Bailey is streaky. What are you going to get out of him? You just don't know anymore. And I guess he's our starter at point guard now, that we just kind of flipped that over the past 2 years?
I think you have to, because Muscovy is too much of a turnover machine. Even though Bailey's going to turn the ball over,
With Vescovi is that the book's out on him. He starts crapping his pants when he gets pressed. It's just, I don't know what the deal is with him. He just seems to get real tentative and timid and just overthinks it.
I think Barnes is in his head. It's kind of like golf, when you have even good golfers, sometimes they say you've got a million swing thoughts in your head and your mind is just too tied up instead of just gripping it and letting it rip. And I just look at him and he is regressed in some ways as a player from what we first saw when he stepped out there. Now he's taking better care of the basketball. There were games where he had 6 or 7 turnovers last year. He doesn't have those games anymore, but he has games where he has 3 or 4. And I just think when I see him out there, I see a guy who he's just, oh, what does Coach Barnes want me to do here? What does Coach Barnes want me to do here? Oh, I can't do this. Coach Barnes will yell at me and that stuff. And I just think he's a talented player. He's not a great athlete, but he is a talented player. And I think he's the kind of guy you got to cut loose a little bit, and you got to be willing to live with a couple of those turnovers. But I mean, Bear's right. His confidence right now is obviously affected.
Yeah. I'm wondering if some of these other players are got confidence problems also, even though this COVID thing it may have a lot to do with it too. But, Barnes can browbeat ball players, and he really can.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we saw it with Jordan Bone.
We saw it with Grant Admiral too.
Yeah.
But those guys could handle it, man. They didn't let it phase them.
All right, guys, y'all hang in there.
Thank you, Phil. And I think it doesn't faze Keon and Jaden.
But you got to keep in mind, those guys have played, Keon was, I can't remember which AAU program he came out of. Jaden played at IMG and was on, was coached by Bobby Mays for years and years. And, from what I know about that, Bobby Mays is out of that. Same kind of Barnes, Bruce Pearl coach was real hard.
I don't know. So, I think all these guys know what the deal is when they sign up with Barnes, and he's talked about that. He lays it out there for him. He's like, this is how it's going to be. And I know you think you know how to work hard. You don't know how to work hard, because we're going to take it to another level, and it's impossible to describe. And if you're not okay with that, that's cool. Like, you could go play somewhere else, but that's just how it's going to be. And I think that there's some guys on the team. I think Fulkerson is struggling with it, and he's been here 5 years. And Vescovi's, I think, struggling with it. He's been here. This is only his second year on campus, and it's just weird. People will say that he was never as hard on a player as he was on Grant Williams, and it didn't affect him negatively at all. And I've heard that he's hard on everybody, but
Oh yeah, Springer. Yeah, he doesn't discriminate.
There's no there's no star treatment with Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. They're getting coached hard this year too, but I don't look at them and see broken, defeated body language the way I see coming out of Vescovi and particularly John Fulkerson right now.
Yeah, I mean there's some kids that, you know, all kids are different. Some kids can really take to that. And that's probably my one small criticism of Barnes in it. I wonder if it sometimes has kept him from achieving some things that I'm sure he wants to, you know, like Final Fours in a national championship is not being able to realize you really can't do that across the board. But like, you got to know how to coach certain kids. You can't just always beat them down.
Let's get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here next. TJ, what's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Hey, Teach, doing well. Thank you.
Hey, not bad. Hey, look, perfect segue into, you know, what I was just thinking. Coach Cal is kind of like Rick Barnes in that way, that he doesn't adjust his coaching style to his kids. He has one coaching style, and if you can't cut it, you ain't playing. I mean, look at Cameron Fletcher earlier this year. He said, okay, if you don't like my coaching style, I'll put you on a plane back home and you can go cry to mama. I ain't changing.
Yeah. Those old school coaches just, you get to be their age, and I think Cal's a little bit younger than Barnes, but you're setting your ways, man. You ain't changing.
And, hey,
yeah.
You know, I was going to ask you, have you seen the SEC tournament bracket lately?
I don't think I've seen it at all.
Oh, man.
I haven't either.
Look, if I'm Kentucky right now, I say quit the season and let's play, and we'll either see you, Alabama, or Florida in the SEC championship game, because you guys, along with Alabama and Florida and Ole Miss, are on the complete opposite side of us. LSU, Missouri, Vanderbilt. I'll take that bracket all day long.
You don't want us again, TJ. You don't play us in Nashville.
Come on, man.
No. You don't want to play us in Nashville, TJ. You get away with one of those this season.
You guys out of the building.
Get away.
Rick Barnes is going to take his belt off and strap you again. You know it.
I'm not going to argue on the radio.
You know it.
But I will say this.
He'll put you back in the coal mine, TJ.
Hey. You like to say it all the time. I'm sorry we left the cheese wrapper there in Thompson Bowling Arena, but hey,
you disrespect.
Hold on. I am running from TJ, the Kentucky fan. Okay, listen. You disrespect Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena at your own peril. But if you come in there to the Bridgestone, you come into the Stone, bumping those gums, talking that noise. You know what's going to happen? TJ,
what's
Big
that,
Daddy
sir?
Rick is going to put you back in the coal mine. Big Daddy Ricks will say, get that coal mine, TJ. Get your pickaxe. Get your helmet. Get your flashlight. And get those muddy boots. Get your ass back in that coal mine. Get back in there, TJ. Back in that mine, TJ. Don't make us strap you. You get one of those every now and then. Yeah, we're not playing well right now, but you're still Kentucky, and we're Tennessee, and we run this show. You know it. You know it.
Nobody beats Rick Barnes twice in the same year.
Doesn't happen. Quick timeout. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
All businesses are... Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell LeBaire back with you, taking your phone calls. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Josh Pate, 247sports.com, coming up next hour on the show. Let's grab a call from Jamie. Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on The Drive.
What's happening, fellas?
What's up?
So, not a good look, Russ, I must say. We like to be able to dish it out. It means we should be able to take it a little bit, don't you think?
What are you talking about?
I mean, Bear wanted to flush him, and then you said no to TJ, but all you did was just let him hear what you had back and then send him down the bowl.
Yeah, I just wanted to go on my coal mine rant. I like it. What can I say? It's fun.
It was a good rant. I like that. I would just let the guy get his word in, just because we like to give it, and I want to. You know, I've always said if you're going to give it, you got to be able to take it.
Well,
so
TJ, if you're still listening, y'all beat our ass Saturday. It sucked. Yeah, I'm a little butthurt about it, but it is what it is.
It is, man. That was we had them set up. That's biggest. We were the largest favorite we've been against them, and God, I can't even remember when. It's a terrible Kentucky team, man.
Terrible.
But, guys, speaking of Bruce Pearl, I don't know if anybody's brought him up today, but I was just thinking, y'all were talking about Danny White, and the Jeeker was talking about who he's got on his list. Wouldn't it be such a fairy tale ending if he came back and finished his career here where it started, and we finally broke down the door with the orange coat, standing on the Lexus, flat-footed up on the Lexus hood, talking about how we're going to beat Florida's ass. Tell me y'all wouldn't have that. Y'all wouldn't be all right with that.
I guess so. I mean, like, what are we talking about here? Bruce Pearl's never coming back. We're not firing Rick Barnes. Like, why are you doing this to yourself, Jamie? You're still harboring Bruce Pearl returns fantasies? Like, what are you doing, man?
They fired Philip Fulmer twice. They fired Bruce Pearl. They fired Johnny Majors.
Okay. Far be it for me to rain on anybody's parade. I always say, if you can't dream, then what's the point in living? Dream on, Jamie. Dream on.
Yeah, it's hypothetical. I mean, I know.
Hypothetical? You're living in fantasy land, bro. It's over. It's been 10 years, Jamie. Let it go, buddy.
All right, it's hypothetical, and it's fantasy. But that's what I want to talk about today, so give me my call. You wouldn't trade old Rick right now for Bruce, though, would you?
Straight-up trade. Maybe. What do you think, Bear? Yeah. Pearl for Barnes.
With all the talent that's attracted to Tennessee right now, I'd probably trade him. And I would, especially we're getting ready. You know, you're talking about back-to-back years getting, you know, Kennedy Chandler and then B.J. Edwards and, you know, possibly another seven-footer from Catholic and all the other stuff, you know. This whole area and region right now is kind of a budding basketball, you know, fountain of just incredible basketball talent. Yeah, I'd take Pearl back right now because he'd get his pick. And I like the way
– if you do that, you know that Barnes is going to go find another three-star Grant Williams and go to the Final Four at Auburn. You know that, right?
You know he will. Sure he will.
Probably. But you know what, Russell? We won't notice because we'll be having so much damn fun with a big daddy back in here.
Sure, you know, the NCAA will love that. It's like, while we're sniffing around Jeremy Pruitt's wreckage here, let's stop by Bruce Pearl's office. Say hello to our buddy. That's what we want.
It wasn't a short 2 years ago. Bear was convinced he was about to get canned. Poop canned down there.
I didn't realize that he was. I never in a million years thought, Jamie, that when the FBI has you on wax on a wiretap, that you could just basically give them the finger and nothing happened.
Yeah.
So,
well, I used to not think that either, Bear, until I saw what North Carolina and Louisville was able to get away with, you know, bringing hookers into recruiting visits. But that's okay.
Well, I mean, Rick Pitino got fired. He's really, I mean, he's lucky he didn't get charged or contributed to links to minors, and, you know, they were providing hookers to underage boys.
Yeah.
Sex crime. He's really lucky.
Yeah.
So, I mean, other people got, now, North Carolina, they're blue blood, Jamie. They're going to get away with everything anyhow. So, but, yeah, to get back to the original point, yeah, I'd probably trade Barnes for, I'm not going to lie. I love Bruce
Pearl. How about you, Russ?
Can't do
Kawhi
it.
Kawhi Russell.
Can't do it.
You know you love Bruce Pearl.
There's more to life than winning a couple of basketball games, boys. You got to be able to look at yourself
feet,
in the mirror.
Just
morning.
Bombing from three like we used to do here with Lofton and Smith.
Hey, they're having a worse season than we are. Of,
he had them in the Final Four 2 years ago.
Yeah, thanks.
Exactly,
thanks,
Alex.
Help him out, Alex.
Elite point guard play.
Who overachieves with talent? Who overachieves with talent? Who underachieves with talent?
I mean, they have one of the best point guards in college hoops this year, and they're, what, 13-8, something like that?
And we have one of the, we have two lottery picks on our team, and we're 5-5 in our last 10.
Well, Bruce Pearl went to a Final Four. I mean, there's no denying that. But he has won. Hold on, he's won. He's 136-89 in, I think this is his eighth year at Auburn. He's won 60% of his games at Auburn. Rick Barnes has won 65% of his games in his 6 years at Tennessee. So you want
apples and oranges. Let's take what they both did at the University of Tennessee, because Auburn's a dump, and Bruce Pearl left Rick Barnes in the NBA arena. So let's just look at what they both did at Tennessee. I'll tell you off the top of my head. Bruce Pearl had a 70% winning percentage, taking over a team that didn't even make it to the NIT. Rick Barnes comes into the NBA arena, and he's masked a 63% winning percentage.
So why has
Now, hold on here, Jay. I got to call you out on this, Jamie. It's one thing to leave a guy an NBA arena, for sure. Bruce did that through, you know, what all they achieved. But if you want, you're very slick here. You can't compare the rosters. Bruce Pearl walked into a loaded, completely undercoached and underdeveloped roster that was brilliant. He had a Mr. Kentucky in basketball waiting on him.
How many of them went to the NBA?
It's not the same thing, Jamie. Those guys were all incredible players. So
they weren't incredible the year before.
We had
Bruce got a hold of them.
Why did his winning percentage drop 10 points then when he went from Tennessee to Auburn? What happened?
Auburn, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Where they don't care about basketball?
He's been there 8 years. He's had plenty of time to make it up. They're 11-11 this year. What happened? I thought they had a 5-star point guard.
I know. Have you not seen the last 3 years what they put together before this year?
Oh, so you would be down there. You would be giving him a pass for 11-11 in year 8.
Absolutely.
Jamie, you didn't even say that with a straight face. You don't even believe that.
Russ, you take a guy who loves your program, loves your university the way Bruce Pearl did.
He loves us.
Embraces all your traditions, brings back Bernard King, sits in front row, packs arenas, like I said, flat foot.
You'd be calling for his head. You'd be at the Vanguard, the coach killer. Bruce Pearl, what's he done for me lately? Get him out of here. Get yourself out of here, Jamie. You're crazy. Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number 3 coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.